We're starting October talking with UW System President Ray Cross here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So we'll look at enrollment numbers, specifically UW-Madison having its lowest share of state residents enrolled in the freshman class in decades. We'll look at faculty numbers, tuition, state budget, campus building projects. What questions do you have about UW system enrollment or the tuition freeze? Are you a UW student or alum? What is your view on the UW? What do you want President Cross to know? Join in 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. UW System President Ray Cross is on a tour of UW schools, highlighting the value they bring to the state. The tour is called All in Wisconsin. President Cross, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, let's start with the declining percentage of Wisconsin students, specifically UW-Madison, as we see a smaller share in the freshman class. What's going on there?
Well, let's also start with the number of students. So this is the second largest freshman class from Wisconsin of Wisconsin students in the last decade. I think it's the fourth largest in the last 25 years. So the total number of students have increased on campus, and the number of Wisconsin students have increased significantly. So we are actually taking a larger percentage of the available high school students in Wisconsin since the high school numbers have dropped by over 10,000 in the last 10 years.
Right. You're seeing shrinking number of high school students. What about a drop in applicants or not?
Well, the drop in applicants is a bit misleading. We're actually seeing applications go up overall. So the interesting part to me is that on the one hand, the state wants us to enroll more Wisconsin students, and we are. This is not only are we enrolling, we're graduating more Wisconsin students. But in addition to that, the state is spending money in Chicago to attract students here. We are an automatic attraction. They're paying us to come here. So we, in our mind, this is a double win for the state of Wisconsin. This is an attraction from four out-of-state students, and our challenge then is to keep them here and employ them in this workforce, make them Wisconsin residents in the end. That's part of this challenge.
Now, stepping back to 2015, when the system approved UW-Madison's request to lift a cap on the number of new students who could come from outside of Wisconsin and in Minnesota, how does this fit into the picture of what you're seeing right now going on with enrollment?
Well, there was also a cap, or a minimum, not a cap, put on the number of freshmen we had to enroll from Wisconsin. And that number was set at 3,600, and that was a large number at that time. This year, we have 3,794, almost 3,800 freshmen from Wisconsin. So we're actually increasing the number of Wisconsin students. Additionally, Kate, we are actually bringing in more of the best and brightest, a larger number of students. I think 200 more students, as I recall, freshman students with ACT scores of 31 or higher in this most recent year, which is something I think we really needed to work on, and we've been working on it. The results seem to show we're having some success.
So we don't need caps, is what you're saying, perhaps? We don't need caps, quotas, or, you know, what should you do there?
I don't have a problem with the minimum number of students that we must accept from Wisconsin. I think that's great. We are a public university, a Wisconsin public university. I also know that the state's spending money in Chicago to try to attract students to come here, not just students, employees. We're doing that. We're getting them to pay us to come here. So this is a double win for the state of Wisconsin. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can increase the number of students from Wisconsin, and we can attract students from out of state. I think that's a double win for the state.
Let's look at the faculty, the decline in faculty. Between 2014 and 2017, the number of faculty within the UW system dropped by almost 8%. But you saw at the same time the number of administrators increasing. What is going on there?
Well, there are a number of things. First of all, student success is our primary goal. We want students who do attend to be successful. And at the same time, our graduation rates have gone up. Even though we have fewer students, I think we're somewhere around 180,000. Now we're down to about 173, which is, by the way, compared to the privates and the technical colleges, our drop is not nearly as significant. But in addition to that, part of our overall goal is to be successful. So you're seeing the word administrator is misleading as opposed to teaching in the classroom. So is a tutor a teacher, or is a counselor or an advisor? those support structures are important to help students graduate, to get through this educational experience successfully. So you're seeing an increase in that. Additionally, every time the legislature, be it federal or state, passes a new regulation, it requires more reports, more follow-up, more administrative, non-teaching positions. So you see that with the Clery Act. You see that with all kinds of things that are passed. We have to add administrators just to fulfill those requirements. We have 57 plus reports we have to submit every year. It takes time to compile that and aggregate that data. Additionally, the whole IT cybersecurity area requires many more people than we ever imagined a long time ago. So it's not the ratio. There is no magic number. The magic number is to us is, can we increase the number of students graduating from this institution that start here and finish here? If students graduate, their student debt problems are much more minimal than they are if they don't graduate.
What do you make, though, of declining faculty numbers? You take UW-Oshkosh, for instance, a decline of faculty by 20 positions between 2014 and 2018.
Well, first of all, there is a relationship between the number of students and the number of faculty. So that process is part of the normal process, that give and take. So this could go back up easily as enrollment increases. There's a whole process throughout the system and how we use this fluctuating enrollment like an accordion to rightly relate the number of faculty to students. We're always behind some, so it takes a little while to catch up with that. But that's a normal part of the process.
We're talking with UW System President Ray Cross, looking at a number of issues facing the UW, with your thoughts as well at 800-642-1234. What issues do you want to see the UW system tackle next? Are you currently a student or alum? Why did you choose UW schools? What was your experience like? Do you work within the system? What are your biggest challenges? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Marquette University down the road, Milwaukee, recently announced it would be cutting 2.5% of its staff. Meanwhile, the UW system is reviewing the way employees are compensated and trying to match university titles to the market. Where is the UW in that process of title and compensation review?
We call it title and total comp, TTC, is an effort to try to match our titles with comparable titles and job descriptions nationwide. So we have accurate comparable data. You will hear different kinds of statements, well, we're paid less or they're overpaid more, or it's hard to compare this position with another position. This is an effort that is actually going on nationwide at other organizations. How do we rightly create a job description that gives us the appropriate amount of comparable data so we can say, yes, in this market, this person is paid in this range. Therefore, in our market, it should be paid in this range. We expect that to be completed somewhere in the spring, maybe by the 1st of April, et cetera. It's an effort that will require a lot of communication because, as you know, Kate, every time you attempt to say, well, we're looking at your job description, employees get nervous, and rightly so. So we want to communicate the importance of this to them to effectively help us validate where we are in the marketplace.
Will you need a pot of money for that? Because what if compensations are wildly out of place for what some jobs are in the market?
Right now, we can't prove that. So that's the hard part to prove. Well, you say this, we say that, et cetera. We want to validate those differences, which gives us, I think, a much more objective argument in the end.
What will you accomplish then in the end? How will this impact the UW system?
Well, it's the foundation for looking at how employees are paid, what they're compensated, how they're compensated. Total compensation includes obviously more than just money too. So what kind of benefits are provided for employees in similar positions, et cetera?
Let's look. Let's bring in Linda now, joining us from Reedsburg. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. I just wanted to thank Ray for his effort to get the Dairy Hub Initiative taken care of to help Wisconsin dairy farmers and to get us a little bit more research to help us progress in the future.
Well, Linda, thanks so much for calling in. And President Cross, can you give us a little more information on what the Dairy Hub is?
Well, I'll try to do that. Thanks, Linda. We appreciate that. And our thanks also to the legislature for supporting that. And to the particularly the dairy community, but also the corn growers, soybean growers, et cetera, for helping us. This is a dairy state. We put it on our license plate. We brand it on our on just everything we do. We should be proud of that. The university was instrumental in making this a dairy state, moving from growing wheat around the turn of the century to become, hey, becoming a dairy state, because we can grow forages better than we can grow grains. So in that process, right now with the dairy industry suffering the way it is, with the price of milk being what it is, it's important for us to prepare for the future. We don't have short-term answers for this, but how do we invest in the research, be it on environmental issues for dairy farmers, productivity issues, improvement of genetics, the implication of technology in the dairy industry? Wisconsin needs to be the dairy state, the state that everybody comes to for answers to questions about dairy issues. That's who we are, and let's take advantage of that. And we've done that before. We've invested in the dairy industry, and it's served us well. So I'm proud to support this and really pleased the legislature and the governor support it as well.
We're checking in with UW System President Ray Cross, rounding up a number of issues facing the UW enrollment as we've been talking about budget, tuition, compensation, building projects. Do you work in the UW? What are the challenges and opportunities you see in your work? Have you seen the effects of the tuition freeze on the system? What kinds of changes have you noticed? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back for more with President Ray Cross in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we have UW System President Ray Cross here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There are 13 UW System campuses across the state. We're getting up to speed on the pressing issues with students, faculty, administrators. What issues do you want the system to work on next? Did you leave the UW to work somewhere else? Why did you leave? Are you an alum? How do you describe your higher ed experience? Be part of the conversation, 800-642-1234. And UW System President Ray Cross stays with us. We have Don in Ashland who emailed us to say that honor students with amazing credentials are being turned away from UW-Madison and toward other UW schools because of the inability to reach the requirement of a 26 ACT score. And Don is saying there should be additional weight placed on past academics and abilities and less so much stress on the ACT test.
Well, it is a what we would refer to as a holistic admissions process. So the ACT score or any test score are just one part of that. High school grades are included, courses you take, extracurricular activities, et cetera. It is a whole holistic process, John, so it's not the only thing that's considered.
Let's take James now in Madison. James, hi. Are you there, James? Hi.
Yes, hi. Yeah, I'm wondering if Ray Cross understands the plight of the trades in the state system. We're basically making the same money we were making in 2005 with frozen wages, virtually no raises since 2009. We are talking to the university, and we understand that the legislature controls our wages, but I'd like to see President Cross and other people in campus lobby the legislature to correct this. This is really, we find it's just despicable the way we're being treated.
James, thanks for the call. And who works in the trades on campus?
Well, James, I used to own a construction company, and I understand exactly what you're talking about, and I sympathize with that. And I want to assure you that we are actually working to increase compensation, not just for you and the trades, but also throughout the university, because we think that's our highest priority. And so I respectfully disagree slightly. We did have some success. We have secured minimal increases, but not to exceed CPI in the last few years. But there were a number of years where it was absolutely frozen. Wages were frozen. So I fully understand that. Just be assured that we are working on this. We're doing the best we can, and we certainly appreciate what the trades do in supporting and servicing the structure, the infrastructure that provides the kind of opportunities for our students, an incredibly important part of what makes a university successful. Thanks, James.
Well, what about the tuition freeze and that impact on the budget? In-state tuition at the undergraduate level has been frozen since 2013, and the budget that Governor Evers signed in July extended the freeze for another 2 years. Has the system had to find other pots of money to make budget?
Yes. Finding other pots of money is kind of probably the wrong way to express that, Kate. Trying to figure out what, as James alluded to, what are our priorities and how do we make that happen? And yes, has the tuition freeze impacted or will it threaten? I don't think it's hurt quality yet, but it is and it will. At this point, it will have been frozen for 8 years at our four-year institutions and 12 years at our two-year former UW College campuses. So that is an incredible challenge to us. Of course, our efforts are to secure increased investment, whatever source that might be.
What might sources of increased investment be? Would it be going to alums? Would it be where else do you generate revenue?
Well, from the state. So the state has to invest in this. And part of our whole All in Wisconsin tour is to help the public understand the incredible impact that the university has on everyone's lives. Today, we're facing challenges. You heard Linda talk earlier about the dairy industry and the challenges facing that fundamental sector in our society. The university is a part of solving that problem. Our challenges, the challenges faced by the state, be they in the healthcare field or agriculture or in manufacturing, the university needs to be a part of helping to solve that problem, just as we did back in the late 1800s with respect to dairy and forages. So helping the public realize that the university needs to be a more deeply embedded partner in their lives, including the businesses and communities we service, what the All in Wisconsin process is all about.
Have you had conversations with lawmakers recently that may suggest whether we would see an end to this freeze?
Well, we've certainly had conversations, not just recently, for a number of years, helping people understand the impact of this and saying to folks, and I think you heard in Governor Evers' proposal, or at least you saw it, he was not proposing to increase tuition, but he was proposing to increase the state's investment to offset that. There was some warmth to that from several legislators on both sides of the aisle. In the end, that didn't quite happen, but there seems to be an increasingly growing understanding that this has to change.
Let's look at building projects, capital investment. You have been pushing more funding in the state budget to repair and renovate, replace the aging infrastructure. Has the system been able to move ahead on those projects?
Well, that is the one wonderful outcome of the recent budget. This was probably the largest capital budget we've ever received in the history of the university. It's a wonderful validation on the part of the legislature of their understanding of the plight of our current physical infrastructure. We're not seeking sufficiently to increase to any large extent our square footage, but we do need to replace, repair, and renovate these spaces in order to attract, retain, and perform the role of an academic institution in this day and age.
Talking with UW System President Ray Cross in you as well, 800-642-1234. What issues do you want to see the UW system address next? What value do you place on the UW system and your connection to it? Joining the conversation, you can also email ideas at WPR.org. President Cross, let's talk about free speech on campus and the ever-present issue that colleges are facing around the country. Over the summer, the system started the process of getting its free speech policy written into state code, punishing students who violate others' free speech a certain number of times. Where is the system in this process?
Well, we do have a policy, and a portion of that policy, because it impacts student discipline, has to be included in administrative rules, and that's what this is about. I want to try to challenge some of your comments there. There's free speech all over the campus, but if an individual or a group reserves a room and to speak, the process of how one protests within that room is what we're trying to be careful about, because this person has a right to speak. They've paid for the room. Individuals have a right to protest, and the people in the room have a right to hear. So if they come to hear this individual speak, then we're trying to make sure that individual has the opportunity to speak. In other words, the heckler's veto cannot forbid speaking. And at the same time, we want protests to be lively, common. That's what the university is all about. These are issues that are constantly in conflict. We want that to happen freely on the campus, as it does anywhere. We are not stifling any kind of free speech around campus. Unless a person reserves a room to speak, they should have the right to do that. And what we're trying to do is be reasonable and thoughtful about how that should occur.
Some have said this is having a chilling effect, though, on students, discouraging them from exercising free speech. What would you say?
I would disagree. I don't think it has. I think it's an effort to provide some guardrails, some principles that guard free speech. And I think there will always be dispute about how best to do that, because it's a challenge. But the university is, in my opinion, it's the reservoir, the place where we actually guard free speech, perhaps more than any other place in our society.
President Kross, thanks for coming by.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
Ray Kross is president of the UW System. He's currently on a tour of UW System schools, highlighting what they bring to the state. The tour is called All in Wisconsin. Next up tomorrow, UW Lacrosse. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on the Ideas Network.